We want to speak tonight upon the supreme sacrifice. Verse 32, we quoted it this morning. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also give us all things? Many today are looking back on the past, and at different times of the year, those that lost loved ones in the wars, and those that lost loved ones in the troubles, the recent troubles that we have had, the Tiban one was recently one of them, and many others. And people look back to the sacrifice that was made in the days gone past. And the question remains unanswered, why had this to happen? In the case, of course, of the wars, it was to protect our freedom from Germany. Of course, now Europe is trying to take control by political means, and it's doing a good job with it at the present time. And what they couldn't achieve during the wars, they're now, I believe, doing their best to achieve by taking over the whole of Europe. In the case of the troubles and the days that are past, it was in the protection of our citizens against the onslaught of the terrorist. And to many, the fact, of course, that no one has been brought to justice weighs heavy on him or her. Let us not forget there's a day coming when they will answer to God for their murderous deeds. The great white throne judgment will have no lawyers. There'll be no barristers. There'll be no letters of immunity of prosecution. All will be revealed before the righteous judge of all the earth, the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God. But I want us to look tonight at verse 32 and see displayed the supreme sacrifice ever given to mankind when God gave his only son for rebels and sinners such as you and I. And that is not decrying the sacrifices that have been made, but we want to get beyond the human aspect and we want to see the supreme love of God first. First of all, we want to look at the supreme love of God. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son. Now, of course, one of the greatest gifts that any father or mother can have is the birth of a child. The father especially delights when a son is born to carry on his name. Abraham, the servant of God, had a son in his old age, Isaac. And yet, how God tested Abraham in Genesis 22 and 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And here was Abraham, God's servant, being asked to take his son, to make an altar, put him on the altar, and sacrifice him. And of course, we all know what happened, that God spoke to him. And he said, Abraham, I know that you're willing to give your son at my command. And you remember that Abraham looked round and he saw the lamb caught in a thicket. And that lamb that was slain was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It died in place of Isaac. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ died in the place of sinners. David mourns the death of his son Absalom in 2 Samuel 18:33. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son. To part with a son breaks a father and mother's heart. And we have seen that in our own church in Omagh. The Walker family, Basil and Audrey, has been just laid their 34-year-old son in the grave. And you know, that is something that breaks the heart of any parent. How much more did it cost God to send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who had been with him for all eternity, into this sin-cursed world to die the innocent for the guilty? In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And that wonderful verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Men give up their sons to go to war for their country or for the ideals of a free society. But God sent his Son to die for the wicked, evil, sinful people of a fallen earth, that they would be redeemed back to God. Jesus would bear the punishment they deserved for their sin. Isaiah 53 tells us in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. What a tremendous love for a good man. Some would even dare to die. For a rascal, no one would dare to die. But our God loved you and I, the unlovely, that he gave his only begotten Son. Unselfish love. God did not have to give his Son to be the Savior of sinners. He could have let all be punished in the lake of fire for their sin. But God, in his supreme love and mercy, chose before the foundation of the world to provide the only acceptable sacrifice for sin, and that was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In John 15, in the verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You see, some people mistakenly think that God provided salvation as a result of what went wrong in the Garden of Eden, when our first parents disobeyed God, believed the lie of the devil, and partook of the fruit that they were forbidden to take of. Eve disobeyed God's command not to partake of that forbidden fruit. But you know, God had already chosen to save sinners in eternity past. God's love is supreme above all else, because when he looked down, he saw that Adam and Eve would sin. And he saw that mankind would be doomed to spend eternity in the lake of fire. But thank God he loved sinners such as you and I, and he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world, the supreme love of God. But then there's the supreme price paid for that love. Verse 32 again, but delivered him up for us all. The price of the love of God to men, women, boys and girls was the death of his Son, as we have already said. In Luke 20, Luke 23 and verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. My dear friend, tonight, can you see Calvary? Can you see the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, the second person of the divine Trinity, in human flesh, flesh and blood like you and I, hanging upon that middle tree, shedding his precious blood? And only that blood could satisfy divine justice. You see, God hates sin. God's judgment is upon sin. And God will not tolerate sin in heaven. So therefore, there is no one will ever enter the pearly gates with sin in their life. And that meant that someone had to pay the price for sin, so that you and I as sinners could be cleansed from our sin. The sacrifice had to be without spot or blemish. The only one who could satisfy God's demand was his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. And Jesus left the glories of heaven to become the God-man, and to do for you and I what we could never do for ourselves. And that verse we have already quoted in John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word God was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And verse 14 tells us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The price for the redemption of his elect people was high. No other could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. What a tremendous price had to be paid. And we're sitting here tonight in this church in Londonderry, saved by God's grace, those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Do we really appreciate what it cost the eternal God of heaven to purchase salvation for us? Oh, that God would give us a vision of what it cost Christ on the cross of Calvary. It's very easy to say, oh yes, he went to the cross. He was crucified between two thieves. He suffered the worst form of death that anybody could suffer, was the Roman crucifixion. But you know, that wasn't all that Christ suffered. When God veiled Calvary in darkness and he poured out his wrath upon his Son, no human eye was allowed to see what Christ suffered to purchase your salvation and mine upon that tree. Let us always rejoice that Jesus came into this world of ours. You see, all that Christ did was for our salvation, not just the crosswork. Born sinless on our behalf. You see, if Christ had not been born sinless, we could never be in heaven. Lived a sinless life on our behalf. He never sinned from the day he was born. He lived a life for you and me that we cannot live. There is no human being on this earth other than the Lord Jesus Christ that lived a sinless life. The Roman Catholic Church, of course, will tell you that the Virgin Mary was born sinless. But there's not a word about it. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible tells us so. Christ lived a sinless life on our behalf to purchase a robe for us. Now, you know, whenever you woman or, well, when the men see an invitation to a wedding coming through the door, their heart goes to their boots because they can see visions of the shopping escapade that has to go and the amount of money that has to be spent on a new robe or a new outfit. And it doesn't make any difference what it costs, as long as they come out of the shop feeling that they're looking $1 million. Isn't that right? But you know, for us to get into heaven, we need a robe of righteousness. And that robe of righteousness, no money in this world can buy. No church can provide it. All the good works that we do cannot provide that robe of righteousness. It was something beyond the sinner's control and ability. But thank God he lived that perfect sinless life and provided you and I with a robe of his righteousness that God would accept. He received the punishment we deserve for our sin. You see, we deserve to go to the lake of fire forever. But thank God Jesus received that punishment that we deserve for our sin. He shed his precious blood to wash us from all our sins. He rose again from the dead on our behalf. You see, if Christ had have died and hadn't rose again, we would have no salvation. But thank God he rose again from the dead on our behalf. And because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, we too that are saved by God's grace, when we're laid into Mother Earth, there is a day coming, a resurrection morning, when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead the third day. And then he ascended up to heaven on our behalf. You see, Christ did everything that is necessary for you and I to be cleansed from our sin, to be made perfect in God's sight, to lift us out of the grave and land us safely on the heavenly shore. What a tremendous salvation Jesus provided for us. All that Jesus did from his birth till he arrived in heaven was part of your salvation and mine. The innocent, sinless Son of God dying for sinners to reconcile us to God. What a Savior. Oh, tonight, Christian friend, praise God for the supreme love that God had for you. Praise God for the supreme price that Jesus Christ was willing to pay so that you and I could have eternal life. Maybe there's someone in the meeting tonight and you're not saved. You're sitting tonight in Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church, and if God took the breath from your body, you would end up in a lost sinner's hell, knowing that Christ died to save sinners such as you from your sin and willing to give you eternal life, but you refused it. You didn't believe it. You see, the old devil comes to people's minds and says, you know, really, at the end of the day, you're not all that bad. You're a good husband, you're a good wife, you're a good son, you're a good daughter. Don't you go to church? Don't you pay 20 shillings in the pound? Or, well, it's not shillings now, of course, I'm going back too long. Somebody will know what a shilling was in those days. But it's a day in which you know that you should be saved, and yet the devil tells you, not now. Wait until you're a little older. And the devil puts in your mind the lie that somehow or other you're going to be treated differently. Well, you know, you're in for a shock. Because God does not treat anyone any different. And God has one door into heaven. And that door is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, I don't care what way you try to get in. Whether it's through religiosity, whether it's through good works, whether it's through charitable means. And there are some very good people in the world today, but there's not a hope of them getting in. Why? Simply because there is only one door, and that door Christ purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. The price that he paid. And then finally, there's the supreme blessings that flow from that love. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Every blessing we possess is because of God's love for us. The blessing of forgiveness of sins, as we talked about this morning. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blessing of adoption into God's family. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Adopted and become a son of God. You know, that is beyond belief. That the eternal God of heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one who spoke and this world came into being, the one who is still in control of this world, adopts sinners such as you and I into his family. If we receive him as our Savior and our Lord. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And there's the blessing of heaven as our eternal home. In John 14 and verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, at the end of the journey, the child of God has all the glories of heaven before them. You know, the Christian life is not an easy life to live, as we were talking about this morning. You don't listen to these American evangelists, and even some of them in our own land, that tell you if you come to Christ, you'll never have another problem. Everything will be fine. My dear friend, if you come to Christ, you will have a life that you will have to fight to stand for the things of God. You know, when I went round doors and talked to people even today, and someone says, you know, I got saved years ago, and you know, I find it difficult to live for the Lord. I say, thank God, because I know they're saved. Because there's a battle between the flesh and the devil and the life of the believer. If you get somebody that tells you, oh, I was saved years ago and I'm saved and going to heaven, and they're living like the devil, you know that there never was anything in their life, only a profession of salvation. But thank God, there is a home prepared for you and I, that the day is coming when all our problems will be over. All our sadness will be over. There is no undertakers in heaven. They're out of business. There's no doctors in heaven. they're out of business. There's no tablet makers in heaven. They're out of business. Because God has provided a place of perfection. And then there's the blessing of the Holy Spirit helping us in this world. In John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You see, whenever we come and call upon the name of the Lord, we are born again from above. The Holy Spirit enters and he leads us, he guides us, he helps us. And what a tremendous thing that is. In Matthew 5, we read, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. We're blessed. Now notice there's no talk of kings and queens and rich men, educated people, company directors or MPs or anything else. It's just ordinary folk saved by the grace and mercy of God. And that is the beauty of God's salvation. The greatest blessing of all is the Holy Spirit dwelling in us by faith. Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. In Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And then in Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Of course, the tongues wasn't the babble of the charismatic movement today, but it was language that God gave to those early Christians, to those early disciples, so that they could go out and speak to the people that had gathered in Jerusalem and tell them the good news of the saving grace of God. This was the blessing of God on the early church members. And so too is this power available to every believer, to you and I in our everyday walk and witness for the Lord. We need a daily filling of the Holy Spirit to help us to stand against the devil and the flesh and to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can claim all the promises of God. Oh, let us rejoice tonight in the supreme love of God for us. Let us rejoice in the supreme price that was paid for that love. Let us rejoice in the supreme blessings that flow from that love. And if we're saved tonight by God's grace, we should never get out of our bed in the morning until we thank God for saving us. What's the first thing that comes into your mind in the morning? Maybe it's your breakfast. But you know, when you waken up in the morning, you should say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and so free. When you go to bed at night, you should say, Lord, help me to sleep well tonight. You know, there's people who go to bed and they don't sleep. There was a thing in the Daily Mail the other day there, and if you ever knew that there's reporters are fools, some crowd that was paid big money, what did they come up with? If you're not sleeping at night, the best thing to make you sleep is take your pet dog to bed or pet cat to bed with you. And when the dog snores or the cat snores, then you'll sleep. You know, people are, I don't know, they must think people are complete fools. But my dear friend, when you go to bed at night, you can say to the Lord, help me to sleep tonight. Thank you for saving my soul. Let us rejoice. Let us not get down in the dumps with all that's going on around us, but let's look up and rejoice in God's salvation. If you're not saved tonight, I urge you to come tonight and get saved. Young or old, because you do not know the minute that that breath leaves your body and you go out into God's eternity. That young man Walker, at 34 years of age, went to his bed, took his medication that he was on, went to his bed at night, and the alarm went off in the morning for him to go out to milk the cows. And the alarm didn't switch off, and the wife knew there was something wrong, and when she got him lying on the floor. You see how quick the call can come. But my dear friend, if you're not saved tonight, I urge you, I plead with you, do not put your head on the pillow tonight until you have that assurance in your heart that you're saved by God's grace. And then when that time comes, you will enter in through the pearly gates to be with Christ forevermore. If we can be of any help to you, we're your servant for Christ. We can't save you. The church can't save you. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ can save you, is willing to save you, and he's ready to save you. Are you ready to come tonight? Because he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May God bless this word to our hearts tonight.